Hey, Rob.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I understand you had a thunderstorm come through your area. Dropped a little rain, huh?
Much needed.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Barb.
Good morning. Hey,
Hey,
Barb.
Barbara.
Six. So how's the corn? How's the corn? Knee high by 4th of July or?
It's tasseled out.
It is. Wow.
Putting on ears.
All right. Good. So the rain is good. Good time.
Rain makes grain, yep.
Right. So what's on your mind this glorious Monday?
I don't think we're able to hear Brad.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Oh, good.
Loud and
For
clear.
some reason my first call dropped, so.
Okay. Well, we're good now. That's all that counts.
I see Caleb is on the line.
He's
It
trying
looks
to
like he's
connect.
connecting.
Okay. Morning, Barbara. Morning, Courtney.
Sorry, I was on mute. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I read your lips.
right. So what's on your mind this good morning?
No questions for me.
Think I'm good.
Good. Okay.
We can go material.
So Rob, I see that Caleb Quick is trying to get into the meeting. He's the financial advisor that has some team responsibility with both Dean and I. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago, and you said he was welcome to call into the call.
Sure.
I'm transferring a number of my accounts to him. So, anyways.
Good morning, everybody. I did get on the audio call, having a little trouble with the video, but I am here on my phone listening to at least the audio.
Okay,
Morning,
Caleb.
Caleb.
Good morning.
Welcome. All right. Well, this is week six, so just to review, week five in terms of homework and things that we're working on. Remember, we're walking and chewing gum at the same time, so we're working on segmentation, organization, and acquisition. Not to make yourselves crazy, but to absorb the material, make the necessary changes, and move forward. And so we're giving you the skill training in some areas, and others it's just plain hard work, like segmenting your practice.
Hey, Rob.
Yep.
This is Rob. Can I interrupt just for a second? I thought we were on week seven.
Thank you. I thought so too. Yeah.
Well, let's go look at the instructions for today. Well, that easily rectified. I had on my notes week six, but
Well, not that it would hurt me to hear something twice, but.
no, I don't want to do it twice. 7/6/7. Yeah, you're right. I just didn't put down the date. Thank you.
You're welcome. No problem.
Okay. See, I was so enthralled with your conversation last week, I didn't put the date down. Oh, that's great. All right, anyway, so how'd you do on, I know we spent a lot of time on the, on the 24-month calendar. And, any questions on that? You have trouble doing it? Is it done? Where are you on that?
It's not done, but part of that is because Dean and I are getting together on Thursday, and that'll be one of the agenda items that we have.
Okay. Okay. Scheduling clients and organizing and segmenting, just kind of bring me up to date on where you guys are.
So I think I'll let Barbara speak for herself, but I mean, she was on vacation most of last week, so I think she's starting scheduling calls today.
That is correct.
Okay. I plan on getting with Courtney this week and really doing the same. One question I have for you, Rob, and this is, I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Is to make sure I'm fast forwarding 4 or 5 years when, whatever that time frame is, 7 years, 4 years, whatever, when Brad starts to transition out, how am I going to, do I really load my boat with 100 scheduled calls now, knowing that I'll have 100 more coming in X amount of years? And how do I, I don't want Brad's clients to be let down if I don't have enough time for them when that time comes. So how's that transition?
You gotta, it's, you could answer the question, right? I mean, This, let's assume that you are only going, you're not going to try and make yourself crazy by having 200 clients. So you got to have 100 clients. And so you need to either reassign those to another team and keep the best 100, or reassign those to another FA and keep the best 100. So it's simple. If I put 4 businesses together right now, you would have no problem accepting the increase in income. Okay. By taking the top 100 of those 4 practices, you'd probably double your income or triple your income. But you'd still only have 100 clients, and then you just have to figure out what to do with the rest. Now you can build a team and have another FA or another 2 FAs or whatever you want. You know, I'm coaching a team with 6 FAs right now. So what's the point of that? Well, they want to clearly keep 100 each, and that's how you get to a billion-dollar team. But some people don't want to have a team of 6. They want to have a team of 1 or a team of 2 with 2 CAs. And so they just get rid of the rest. It's just like if you were going to become a private wealth advisor and your minimum was 5 million, right? And you couldn't have any clients less than 5 million. What would your book look like? And then you made that choice. I want to be a private banker. I want to be a private wealth advisor. So you give up the rest of the clients and you keep 50 or 100 or 70, but they usually keep 50 and they have an absolute minimum of 5 million. They can't keep anybody less than 5 million and their acquisition number is 10 million. Okay, and the average is not 10 million. The average person when you're a private banker is 20 million. So it's just the same game. It's just a concierge practice with a different minimum. Okay. So you, mathematically, you can do it, and you know, intellectually, you can understand it. What you're dealing with is the emotion of it. You know, what am I going to do, and how am I going to physically do this? Well, there's lots and lots of good people that want those clients who will take good care of them. So you just have to, between now and then, decide what you want to be when you get to that point, whether you want to bring Caleb on full time, or you want to do somebody else, or you want to, you know, whatever. That's just a business decision. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you expected to hear, right? Nothing new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that.
you knew that. But sometimes you got to hear it and kind of deal with it and go through it intellectually and emotionally. And I'm okay with it. You know, that's fine. You can ask that question as many times as you want. Because what you're saying is, I'm dealing with this now, and I know the answer, but I need to hear it again, because maybe Rob's come up with some other solution. And no, there isn't one. So it's a good problem. It's a really good problem. And you really do choose whether you want to be a manager or you want to be a producer. You know, do I want to produce or do I want to manage? And by the way, you don't have to be the manager. You don't have to be the leader of the team. You can hire somebody to do that, if in fact you have no interest in that. So, you know, that's okay too.
All right, you find out another way, let me know.
Yeah, I've been working on it for about 40 years. There's none. Okay, week 7, the big introduction in week 7, enthusiastically endorsed the list. I just got off the phone with Bill Cates, and we did a webinar. And I don't remember. Do you remember who Bill Cates is? Anybody? Okay, he's the referral coach. So he wrote a book called Get More Referrals Now, and he's written many more since then. But he was the guy that I brought in to teach introductions and teach referrals. And there were other people that did it, but he was the best. And so I've kept in touch with him. I've adopted a lot of his stuff, and I have great respect for him. So we just did it's a pretty good example of using a center of influence in the Zoom period on how do you generate more introductions. So I had recommended him to a Morgan Stanley sales manager in Pennsylvania. And so I was armed with a referral at least. But I was interested in what he was doing during the COVID-19 period and stuff like that. And we've referred a little bit of business back and forth, but
2020, I guess.
One or two introductions for him, and he all of a sudden had like 4 introductions for me. Now I'm going to follow up with a Zoom introduction to the sales manager. I don't want to just give him a name and make him, you know, jump through gymnastics to get in touch with this guy. I want to give him a nice endorsement, and I'd like them to do business together, because what Bill Cates does is he helps use the supernova model to bring in more business. The point is that once you've built a great relationship with a client, you should be able to get introductions from that client to other people that would value that experience, because it's so much better than what they were getting before. Bill loves Supernova because it sets up his clients to earn the introduction. Right? He doesn't believe that if you don't give great client service, you really don't deserve an introduction. Although people get them. So my point is that we set up now, we're going to have a monthly Zoom call, and I will tell you, I can probably get two or three easy introductions from him every month. And now it's just a matter of following up. So I think Zoom introductions in this environment are really key to getting working with a center of influence that works with the same clients that you do, and sharing those introductions is a gold mine right now. I think it's better than it's ever been. So, and, you know, he's a master of creating mastermind units, mastermind groups, which we'll talk about. But in this environment, those are so easy to set up and so easy to do that I think that this is great. Now, what does that have to do with the enthusiastically endorsed list? The enthusiastically endorsed list should include some of your most important centers of influence. So this is a group of people that you enthusiastically endorse. And we talked about this a little bit. I mean, you guys, with your focus on your Christian mission, this whole list can be made up of those people that you endorse in every way. Let me put it that way. They can all be part of your Christian network that you trust and believe in and are willing to do more than just exchange dollars for time, right? So I think it's a real opportunity for you to solidify this and make it something that has real value to you. And I don't see any reason that the Zoom world can't work even better in terms of efficiency in getting something like this done. So what have teams done in order to get this list completed? They kind of create a master list for themselves, right? Of those people that they already know are really good at each of these professions. But then they go in and they survey their clients. All right. And this is a really important topic. Now, some teams will go in and do three at a time. So they'll ask, if you don't mind, I'm doing a survey and trying to gather some information about professionals in our community. And I'd like to take a minute to ask you a couple of questions. Is that okay? Yes. I'm putting together an enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals in the community, and today I'd like to ask you about, and then just go down the list. First, I'd like to ask you about a realtor, estate planner, and then a family law practice attorney. And say, so do you use a tax attorney, and who is it? And can you enthusiastically endorse that person? That's the key question. Not do you like them? Do you think they're good? Can you enthusiastically endorse them? And so you go right down the list, CPA, attorneys, you know, everything that you think of will have value. And my suggestion is, you know, finish the list. Now you can do one at a time, do one a month. Or you can do, you know, three a month. But the idea is to get the list. Now, when you get those names, what you're going to find is there's a pattern that, you know, you'll ask 20 people the question about their residential realtor, and you'll find that a lot of them are using the same person. That would be the same as a CPA, attorney, or anything. And when you get that, and they're not only using them, but those three, you know, they enthusiastically endorse that person. That gives you an opportunity to follow up with that person and call them and tell them, congratulations, I've done this survey, and I've had six people that enthusiastically endorse you as being the best person in our community. And I'd like to meet and talk about building a business relationship with you, because I'm in a position to introduce people, and I don't introduce them unless, of course, I've met that person and I personally can enthusiastically endorse them. And so you meet them. Now you can meet them with Zoom now. You know, that's the best you can do, right? So you can do all this on Zoom. And then you determine whether or not that person meets your criteria, and then they go on the list. And then, like I said before, I think that you can each have your own list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in your community. So, you know, but knowing the people on each list is really important. So, you know, Brad, you can have one for Indianapolis, Dean, you can have one in Illinois, and that's fine. I mean, that'll work great. And that'll be forever. Even when you move, you're still going to need those people in your community because you're going to keep some of those clients. So that gives you an opportunity to refer to them and them to refer to you. And when the COVID passes, then you can get them together, have them meet each other. You can, people do cocktail cruises on, on the Chicago River, they do them on other rivers, in the Atlantic, on boats, they do them dinner parties, they do lots of things to get these people together. But the idea is that you want them to meet each other and to realize that they are in an elite group. Okay. Questions?
You know, Rob, I could see where, one question, one comment. I could see where my putting an enthusiastically endorsed list together is really important for Dean, because at a point in time when he begins to take over my book and we get more Indianapolis clients, he's going to need those introductions himself. Now, so my question is, would you make the enthusiastically endorsed survey one of the monthly topics?
Yes, I'd make it, yes, absolutely, until I got it finished.
Okay.
Hey, this is a good time for me. I've got to jump off. I've got to get on a 401k document call right now. So.
Oh, fun. That sounds like really fun.
Yeah. Ray, we can talk about him.
Courtney knows how good I am at 401k documents too. So.
Oh, that's awesome. You better have, my rule is if you don't have 10 401ks, you shouldn't be in the business.
Well, I agree, but this is a good friend, good client, McDonald's franchisee, good referral stores.
Oh yeah,
you can't turn this one down.
No, that's a good one. Each one of those clients is a good client too.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's a winner. Okay. See
you all next week. Bye.
See you, Dean.
Well, and just think, Brad, if you're a CEO of a company and you just moved to town. And you meet with that guy as a professional welcome wagon and say, look, you know, one of the things that I can provide, is a list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals. I mean, just think how valuable. You may not want to do that. You may not want to give that list to anybody. You may want to just parse it out, but the value that would, I mean, what you said about Dean, that would apply to anybody that's new in the market.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
So it's a gold. It's a piece of gold. Now, one of the things that you want to do is, you know, you guys want people that have the same values that you have. So you may be very, strict with this list. I mean, I call it no jerks allowed list. So you don't give it to any jerks because they're not going to take good care of your professionals. And you don't let any jerks into the professional list because they're going to, you know, bad apple's going to ruin the barrel for everybody. Yeah. So it's something that you protect and value, but it's of real value to the client. So maybe you pass them out, you know, when they first come to town, you give them the name of the best realtor. And just tell them you've got this list, and I'm going to give you right now, I'm going to give you the name of the people that are most critical to you. Okay, so here, this is the name of the realtor, and this is the name, this is the school. You know, these are the three best schools for your kids at your age, depending on where you want to live. These are the best school districts. These are the best private schools, and here are the names of the directors of each of those schools that you need to talk to. You know, so you really can set them up for everything that they would need as a stranger moving into the town. And nobody does that for them. I mean, everybody will give them the name of a realtor, but how do you know whether that realtor is the best realtor? And, you know, you become, you're sort of an interested third party, but not interested in the real estate because you don't make anything from it. So you just have a valuable third party endorsement. You know, if he wants to build a house, you got the best builder in town. So just think about how complicated it is for, you know, if it's a woman and her husband is not working and taking care of the kids, what does he have to do to figure all this stuff out? Nightmare. So it's always great for the working spouse. Well, maybe they're two working spouses and they've got a nightmare on their hands of getting the kids all settled. So anyway, it's a valuable tool, and I think people do it. I just don't think that they do it in a professional way. I mean, that's where Angie's list came out of, right?
$1 worth, and see if you can wire it to me. I have an emergency. My car blew up, and I'm without the vehicle. I'm borrowing my mom and dad's, for heaven's sakes. My number is 217-918-1271, and I have bank information if you could get it wired to First Financial for me. Thank you.
What was that?
I think somebody needs to mute if they're going to be listening to their voicemail.
I'm sorry. I did. Sorry. I thought I was on mute.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, the other concepts that are critical this week are this, the bank of trust, and I call it the bank of hope. And then I've got the 24-month marketing event calendar. Just to go back to that conversation, remember, I'm setting up now a monthly call with Bill Cates as a center of influence, a monthly Zoom call. So I think that that he can provide me as many introductions as I will need. I don't think I need any other center of influence in the whole world, but, because he can provide so many for me and I can provide so many for him. That's rare, right? But when you get the right center of influence, you want to meet monthly with them. You don't, people said to me, you know, I want to set up a calendar. I may have said this to you. I want to set up a calendar so that I only ask once a year of each of my clients for an introduction. Well, that's crazy. If you could get introductions every month, why wouldn't you ask every month? I mean, the only problem is following up on all the leads, right? You got to go do a good job. And remember, when you get a name, you don't want a name. You want a physical introduction. You want a phone introduction. You want a Zoom introduction. You want a personal in-person introduction when you can get that in the future. But for now, Zoom is the best, or phone introduction, conference calls, next best, then an email introduction, and finally a name and phone number. But I hate the name and phone number because you're depending on them to pick up the phone and answer and all that stuff. All right, so let's go back to the Bank of Trust. The Bank of Trust, think of it as a bank, as a piggy bank, and you're constantly putting in deposits in the Bank of Trust. So every time, and I always say to people, look, do you consider yourself a trustworthy person? They say, yes. I say, well, have you been late in the last week? And they said, yeah, I've been late a few times. I said, so do you understand that that was a break in your trust? That was a violation of trust. They go, what do you mean? Well, you made an agreement that you'd be somewhere on time with that person, and you were late. So therefore, you violated your agreement. So what is trust? Trust is doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. So everybody was on the call on time, exactly on time today. So nobody violated the trust. All right? So over time, you build up these deposits of trust, doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Now you're 5 minutes late. The person worries, is he coming? Is he going to be here? He didn't call, but he shows up. And you go, okay, all right. That's a violation of the Bank of Trust, but it doesn't bankrupt the trust. Now, what bankrupts the trust? Well, you know, in marriage is what bankrupts the trust, right? It's when you have an affair. That's a complete bankrupting the trust. You know why people move firms? Yeah, most of the time it's because somebody violated a trust. They bankrupted the trust. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. And they didn't take it seriously. And thought, no, you'll be okay. Yeah. I promised you a CA. I'm not going to give it to you. And you go, okay, that's a big check mark in the trust thing. And then they do it again, and you go, that's enough, I'm out of here, right? So we all have known situations where we've been involved with people that bankrupted the Bank of Trust. So all I'm saying is, in your practice, when we say we're going to do this, the key is to do it. That's why a lot of people don't want to do Supernova, because it's a commitment. It says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you 12-4-2. I'm going to give you rapid response to your problems, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. Why do people love it? Because they're willing. They see it as a massive commitment to a trusting relationship. And if you do this for me, then I will open up to you and I will tell you everything about me, because you are a trustworthy person. So what happens is you do the 12-4-2, you take the risk that you're going to be late or something's going to happen, you're going to have to cancel. You're willing to take that risk, and in return, the client sends more money in and opens up about their life and their issues. And that's why people go, my God, this thing really works. Well, of course it works, because you've made a big commitment. You've said, I am not going to let you down. I am going to be there when I said. Now, we all go on vacation. We all are late. We all are human beings. The key is to call and let them know. My wife always says, if you're going to be late, call. Okay. So you call. All right. You let them know you're considerate because they worry. Right. So think about it in all of your personal relationships. Am I a trustworthy person? Am I making little debits in the bank of trust, or am I constantly making credits? The bank of hope. Build your bank of hope by doing the right thing consistently for your clients and giving instructions and helping your clients without thought of reciprocity. The rule of reciprocity states that if you consistently do the right thing, people will over time reciprocate. That is true as long as they are a giver. In Adam Grant's book, Give and Take, he proposes there are three types of people, and there are givers, takers, and matchers. And what we are is, and what you are is givers, right? You understand the value of being a servant leader and giving. And what we want to do is become givers without thought of reciprocity. We want to give to help, give to make a difference in the world. And yes, it makes you feel good. But the more you can give without thinking about yourself, the closer you get to being the person that you really want to be, the person that is generous to a fault, the person that is others focused, the person that's generally thinking the welfare of others well above themselves. So that's the bank of hope. And when you give, one of the things we did was, we have the game board, and we changed that to the giving board. And we kept track of every week how everyone on the team, CAs everybody, was giving every week. What are you doing to give? What are you doing to help? How are you reaching out? Because when you, for example, with Bill Cates, I was prepared to give him an introduction. He then wants to give me one. Now, I have to give without thought that I'll get something in return. Okay? That's the true giver. And hopefully someday we all can get to that point. But the idea is, if you're doing business with other givers, like Bill Cates is a giver, he's gonna give me three introductions for one of mine because he's a giver. And so you surround yourself with givers and you give without thought of yourself. So it's really, it's a counterintuitive thing, right? But the most successful people in the world are givers that do take care of themselves, but give generously. So that's the concept for this week. Questions? So my
pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So each of the directors continue to work on your areas of importance. Director of implementation, build that 24-month calendar. Director of planning, continue to do plans and implement them. Director of brand management, prepare report on the scheduling process. Director of marketing, preparing report on the progress of the five-step process for developing a center of influence and beginning the use of the enthusiastically endorsed list. And I would, therefore, on the agenda, as you said, Brad, on the agenda goes the list of this month we're going to ask about CPAs. We're going to not, you know, at the end of the month, we're going to have every CPA and an indication of whether they are enthusiastically endorsed, neutral, or negative. Remember, if they're negative, that gives us an opportunity to introduce a new CPA to them. The growth and the personal development of each player is the director of leadership, and the whole team reads Chapter 8. The coaching guide and watches the video for Chapter 8. So that's the homework. So Caleb, welcome. Hope you got something out of this. Read the book. Yeah, make sure you're reading the Supernova Advisor, the Supernova Multiplier, and Supernova Teams. Those are the three books that come as part of the homework for this course, and you'll get a lot out of them all. It's not like it's about some other industry. It's about your business to make you better at this. So it's a good use of your time.
Absolutely.
Rob, I have one other question.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, Caleb. On a 24-month calendar, so you spoke last week in terms of there would be times when a topic needs 2 months. So, for example, long-term care or annuities. My question is, let's say that we're coming up on the first of those 2 months for long-term care, and you're having a call with a client that you've already sold a long-term care policy to.
Yep.
Now, on month one, it would be easy just to review the benefits of that policy. But what do you do for that client on month two while you're still on long-term care with everybody else?
I'd find something else that was particularly unique to that client and spend that time on that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can always have topics, other topics to discuss that may be of interest to them or to anybody that aren't. See, when you're talking about the 24-month calendar is 8 new topics. There are probably 12 topics that you'd like to talk about during that 24-month calendar, but you pick the top 8. Okay. So maybe 529s does not get into the list. So maybe when you have free time, you talk about 529s to everybody.
Okay.
All right. So make up the list of all the topics that clients should hear about. Pick your top 8, put them into your 24-month calendar, and then use the other topics as fillers for just those occasions.
Okay.
Make sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah. You may want to use those for the next 24-month calendar, but if you've already talked about, you know, 529s to somebody else, then you wouldn't need to. So you just, the agendas can be pretty robust. And you may not need topics, you know, like there's so much stuff for me to cover every month with my advisor. We don't really have time to even talk about any other topics than the stuff I'm doing. Right. So, I think they should do it. They don't. They should use the 24-month calendar. But, not, you know, I can't make people do everything. Yeah. All right. Well, good. Next week we're on week 8 and the coach will keep track of where the heck he is. Thanks. See ya.
Thank you, Rob.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Okay.